Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter beginning with verse 40. And a leper came to him, beseeching him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And he sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to the people." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the country, and the people came to him from every quarter. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now we do have some visitors here today, parents and scout leaders, and I do especially welcome you. And sometimes when you visit a new church, especially one with our high church architecture and liturgy so far, you wonder just how am I supposed to behave? And you wonder if something in the sermon stirs me, am I allowed to say amen? Well, about once a year at Main Street we allow an amen. It's early in the year, we have not had one yet. If you feel inclined, that's okay. It won't hurt the preacher's feelings. Now to the moms and the dads and volunteers who spend time with these scouts, I salute you, but I don't really know how to salute you because scouting died when I was a weebolo in my hometown. And Woodruff scouting got down to one scoutmaster, and he had one terrible rambunctious camp out, and he quit. And he took the equipment and he took the bus, which was his, and the whole program folded. Rumor had it that on that particular camp out, he warned a scout and he warned a scout and he tied him to the tree overnight. It might have been time to retire. Chip, I don't know. Chip's looking down like, well, I've done that. I don't know. I heard another story about some upstate city scouts who went camping down around where I used to be for 7 years, Bamberg, in the swamps of the low country, where the mosquitoes are prehistoric and roughly the size of small birds and have hypodermic needles as mouths. And these upstate boys were hiding under their blankets, and one of them peeked out and saw a swarm of lightning bugs, and he cried out, "We might as well give up, boys. They're coming after us with flashlights." Now, I used to love reading the hero stories in Boys Life. Is there still a Boys Life magazine? They had a hero story of the month. Now, scouting for boys and girls is always about being prepared and about helping and serving, prepared to save yourself or to act calmly and to save others who are in trouble. And I love those hero stories, and I always wanted to be one. Now, it's fashionable now, I am afraid, to make fun of the values of scouting in some circles. I mean, faith and patriotism, integrity and honesty and thriftiness and heroism. It's fun. People make fun of those values until they need someone who lives them out. A former scout who is now engaged to my daughter Christina, named Adam. Well, Adam and my daughter were driving a few years back on a dark back road to Columbia from Bamberg, and Adam saw what he thought were some taillights off in a ditch. And they turned around to see if they could help, and they found, yes, it was a car, and there was a badly shaken up woman laying out beside her upside down car. And to make matters worse, she spoke only Spanish. But so did Adam. And using his basic first aid training, he called 911, he assessed her situation, he calmed her down, and he stayed to interpret for the EMS workers. Now that's the kind of story that I used to love to read in Boy's Life, and I still do. Part faith, and part highly developed sense of right and wrong, and part good citizenship, all played out in the world. We all need help from time to time. And Jesus lived out a life helping others, a life offering help and hope beyond just physical needs. He offers help and hope for the woundedness and the weakness and the neediness in our souls. Now, this will sound wrong when I first say it, but it's true. In a way, I am jealous of AA members. In a way. I really am, because they start each meeting by saying, "My name is so-and-so, and I am an alcoholic," and they move on from there. Well, we ought to start worship by saying, "My name is Jim, and I am a sinner. I am broken. I am wounded, but thanks be to God, I am being healed. And I look forward to final healing and salvation through Jesus Christ, who was also tempted by sin. He was lied about. He was broken by this world. He was wounded and he was rejected." You see, Jesus has scars. Jesus has scars. There's something funny about boys, and I think it is only boys. Boys are proud of their scars. They are. My old friend David Schmidt, years ago, he had an emergency appendectomy, and his appendectomy, well, his appendix was apparently not where it was supposed to be. He had never studied anatomy. And the surgeons had to cut a much larger cut than they normally do. So he had this huge scar. And when he would go swimming and, you know, have on just swim trunks, he made up these stories about this horrific knife fight that he had been in. Boys love scars. I mean, girls, not so much. I could ask some of these boys here, who has the best scar? Somebody here has a really good scar and a story behind it, don't they? Nobody's going to raise their hand, but I know they do. They compare them. But scars prove something. We can be wounded pretty badly and we can still heal. We're here. We're alive. Jesus knows and God knows what it is like to be me and to be you. We are all wounded. And if we pretend to be perfect, and if you as a Christian pretend to be perfect, will we take away one of God's best stories? Salvation for the wounded and the weak by the cross of Jesus Christ. If we were perfect, if we were even perfectible, then Jesus and His cross would become optional, and I think that is an insult to God. We are not perfect, and we are not even perfectible outside of God's help. We need God, and we need each other. That was God's vision for creation from the beginning, wasn't it? Now back to the leper. In Jesus' day, a leper was as good as dead. And their only company was other lepers. And their future was disfigurement and then death. They were required to cry out and to warn people when they were coming, to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." One cried out to Jesus, "Help me. You can heal me if you want to." And Jesus said, "I want to." And Jesus did. Now, can you imagine the joy of being cleansed from such a walking death and how thankful you would be? Well, remember what it is that Jesus has done for us. Remove the guilt of our sin. Remove the dead weight of guilt from our hearts. Remove the fear of death. Jesus has loved us. He has forgiven us and made us able to feel again life and hope and an open future. Now, these things are worthy of gratitude, worthy to be passed on to others in need, and we are all in need. And we all have scars. Many of them are self-inflicted. And sin is the root of most. And leprosy is almost a perfect analogy for sin. You see, leprosy medically starts in small spots, and it spreads either eating up healthy flesh or turning healthy flesh into insensitive leather, where you can no longer feel. It deadens the nerves so you can't feel. You don't even know that you're hurting yourself. You don't even know when something is infected or broken or bleeding. Unless a leper looks at the wound, he would never know that it is there. It is exactly the same with sin in our lives. Sin starts in small secret patches and spreads, eating up our lives, leaving sometimes great big holes where healthy soul once was. Sin deadens the nerve so we don't even know that we are hurting ourselves or hurting others. And in sin, you sometimes cannot feel how spiritually sick or broken you are unless you look at the sin. You might not realize it can consume you and make your life a grotesque thing without your ever feeling a thing. One bad choice after another bad decision at a time, each one freely made and turning us further away from God until we find ourselves out way deep and crying, "Someone save me." But there is good news. There is good news. Don't miss it. Cry out, "God save me," and God will. In Jesus' day, lepers were indeed treated as if they were already dead. The very minute that it was diagnosed, according to Leviticus, they were cast out of the community and they had to stay outside of the camp and yell at everyone, "I'm unclean," and stay away from everybody else. When this unclean man reached up to Jesus and Jesus took his hand, imagine that moment. The need was so great and Jesus' compassion was even greater. He touched a leper. But there is a big mystery here. A mystery which might affront our sensibilities. We like to believe that Jesus is in our blessings, that Jesus is in our good choices and in our discipline and in our health and our wholeness, and we like to think that that is where Jesus resides. And sometimes we think that God is absent. We say, "Jesus, where did you go?" When there's some disorder or some dis-ease of our mind or soul or body. So often I've heard people wonder out loud, "Where is God when I suffer and when I hurt, when I cry out in pain?" We wonder that only because we've read the gospel with our minds, but we haven't really read it with our hearts. Our hearts should know that Jesus is with the outcast. He is touching the lepers. He is forgiving the adulterers just before the stones fly. Jesus is drawn to and He is sidetracked by. He is stopped and He is mobbed by the ill and the disturbed and the demon-possessed. That is where Jesus is in your Bible and in mine. But somehow we have domesticated Him and we keep Him in clean brick buildings and orderly pews and fresh pressed clothing. Just looking out, if I did not know you all better, I would think that no one here has a problem in the world. But I do know better. I am truly and deeply becoming your pastor. And besides, after 25 years, I know that there is brokenness and dis-ease of soul on every single pew. The greater the pretense of perfection, the more horrible what lies underneath. The truth is we need each other and we need God and we need people willing to help and willing to be helped. We are broken. We need God as lover of our souls and forgiver of our sins and maker of peace, because a lot of us are just one drop of the hat from starting some private little war at home or work or you name it. And you know it. This I know because I know people. And I'm not sure of the grammar here, but because I am people. And all of us have sinned and all of us are broken. Now where is the good news? Let me remind you. First, it is good news that Jesus hangs out with and He stops and He spends time with and He grabs the hands of and He offers healing and hope to those who know that they are wounded and broken inside. Jesus, of all things, died nailed to a cross, knows about suffering and what this world does to us. We all have scars. It's bad on the one hand, but remember, living people with scars proves that healing does happen. Yes, bad things happen. But the love of God and the people of God, when we do it right, can facilitate real healing of souls and real wholeness and belonging right here and right now. No pretense of perfection is required. Nobody thinks that I am perfect. In fact, I think my wife is sitting somewhere over there. Where is Caroline? Am I perfect? Okay. No. But that's okay. Caroline is not my judge, ultimately. God is my hope, and God is my healer. And God is who invited me into this ministry, into this church of His, and God has made me brother of you all and made us brothers and sisters and debtors to one another, no matter the wound, no matter the wound. There's an ancient tale of Francis of Assisi. He was riding on horseback through the countryside and he saw a poor leper by the side of the road begging with his wooden bowl. The leper's grotesque features jarred his sensibilities and he recoiled a bit in horror and looked away, and then recovering just a bit, he tossed some coins at the man and kept on riding. Soon though, he slowed his horse down. And he seemed unsure of what to do next. And then he was sure and he turned around. He went back to where the leper was with the begging bowl, picking up the coins off the ground where he had thrown them. And he jumped off of his horse and he embraced him. The leper came to Jesus believing that he could be healed. Now the leper was told to keep it a secret, but he could not keep it a secret. He jumped up and down a healed man and he told everyone. Maybe that's Jesus' plan for evangelism. Tell no one might be the best way to tell everyone. I don't know. But I do know that scars are proof that healing happens. And the really good thing for the former leper was that he could go home, that he could go back into his town, he could go back into his home and his family. He could touch people and other people could touch him. Back to synagogue and back to the temple, back into the bosom of his worshiping community, because he was no longer an outcast. And I have to ask the question, and I want you to echo the question in your own head and heart. Where can I go where I belong completely? Where can I go where people will touch me even if I am broken? Where can I go where I am accepted and loved? Where can I go where I don't have to hide my damage? Where can I go without fear of rejection? Where can I go so that when I reach up and reach out, I can be assured that someone will reach down and hold my hand? I am describing God's kingdom. And what Jesus was preaching was that God's kingdom had come in Him. And preaching that good news was the major thing, and the healing of the leper was simply part of the proof that God's kingdom was for real. God's kingdom is the place where I belong completely. where people will touch me even if I am broken, where I am accepted and loved, where I don't have to hide my damage, where I can go without fear of rejection, where I can reach up and out and be assured that someone will reach down and hold my hand. And what is Main Street United Methodist Church if not an outpost for that very kingdom of God? The leper knew that God in Christ would welcome him and touch him and make him whole. A little over a month from now, we are going to begin a worship attendance crusade. And we will be welcoming people from all over this community. And you will be inviting and bringing inactive members and relatives and people you work with and friends. And when they get here, will we touch them? And will we accept them? And will we welcome them? I hope so. Because it is God's house, not ours. And Jesus is both the doorkeeper and Jesus is the door. And He's left it wide open. And Jesus touched lepers and He offered them healing and wholeness. May we offer healing and hope to those who come looking for God in the world. May they find God here among us in this outpost of the kingdom. May we stand ready as those who proudly bear healed scars without pretense of perfection, knowing that we need God and knowing that we need each other and knowing this place, this very place, is healing, holy ground. Amen.